This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Monday morning to you, boys and girls. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Not featuring Mraz today, of course. That lazy bum took the day off. But the rest of the guys are here working hard, and I appreciate that very much. I find it an honor to be working on a day like today, Memorial Day. Certainly a time not only to enjoy your time off, but also to remember what we are meant to remember today, which is those who we have lost. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Destro tweets, DA, you're an animal. This new time slot is a holiday killer on the West Coast. I might as well start mowing my lawn and cleaning the gutters. Well, I'm not encouraging you to have to clean your gutters during the show, but I do encourage you to find a way to listen early mornings on the West Coast, mid mornings in the middle of the country, late mornings, early afternoon on the East Coast. However it is, whenever it is, it's good by me. And remember, you can always listen on demand because the show is fully podcastable, full episodes always available, including today's episode, by going to iTunes and simply search DA on CBS, and you'll see our full episodes and whatever segments you want to listen to, whatever interviews you want to listen to. It's all DA on demand. Jeff in the Bluegrass tweeting in, DA, glad to hear you on today. Beam me up. I grew up on the Bulls and MJ, but even if LBJ doesn't win this year, he is the best I've ever seen. You know, it's interesting, Jeff, that you bring this up because my cousin over the weekend, and he and I were always really, really close. We were born only 3 months apart. We went to the same middle school. We went to the same high school. We graduated the same graduating class. We were both totally locked into the same sport at the same time. And over the weekend, he texted me almost the same exact thing, and he had been a big LeBron hater for a long time. Now, to give you some context, both he and I were born in 1979. He's already turned 38. I will turn 38 this year. And so our formative years in the late 80s, early 90s growing up with the NBA was Michael at his peak and the NBA on NBC. And those finals years of 91 and 92 and 93 are when we are 11 and 12 and 13 years old. Those are very significant moments. And so, yes, for those of our age, how could you ever be better than Michael? He and I also, my cousin and I, actually went and watched The Decision together. We try to get together every so often and just kind of watch big sports stuff. And so we went out to a sports bar, and it was in the middle of the summer. There was nothing really going on. We said, let's go have some beers. We'll get some wings. Let's watch this thing. And we both came away going, ugh, that was gross. But he texted me on Saturday, and I'm reading this actually from my phone, at 11:30 a.m. He said, first time I'm saying this, LeBron's going to be better than Jordan. And I responded, wow. That's the first time I've ever heard you say something like that about LeBron. And I think that what has happened is the longevity of the excellence of LeBron is finally really grabbing people, because the reality is this is ridiculous. That LeBron has now taken two different franchises to four NBA finals. LeBron has gone to seven straight NBA finals. He has been in the finals every year for seven. Think about how much your life changes in 7 years. What were you doing in June of 2010? I was in a different city, at a different job. Hell, that was like four different shifts ago for me. I mean, I did not meet my current girlfriend yet, who, you know, we're certainly down the line on in my life, in our relationship, and, you know, like where I was living and who my friends were and what my career looked like. 7 years is a long time in a lot of ways. And if I fell asleep during the finals of 2010 and woke up during the finals of 2017, I would not have missed anything because LeBron would have still been in all of the finals. So it's extraordinary. And now, because there's such a depth of how long he's been doing this, and there's such an obvious that he's doing this at a high level. And I think here's the other thing which people, to me, sleep on. The guy's never a boob off of the floor. Okay, the decision was bad. There's no doubt about it. But there's never a loaded gun underneath his car seat that he gets pulled over for. There's never a marijuana charge. There's never him street racing going 140. There's never a, you know, kind of sleazy scandal with him with some celebrity. There's never any of that. There's never video of him acting blind drunk, acting a fool on the stage of a concert because the guy is, you know, totally stoned. There's no domestic violence. There's just no anything. Hell, you can't even find a coach that says he's not the best player he's ever coached from a teammate standpoint. There's no teammate that ever said he was a terrible teammate. There's just nothing that you could ever say. And there's so much of that in athletics. There's so much of that in sports that really should be focused on. The guy, I'm not saying he's a perfect human being. I'm just saying for all of the other athlete indiscretions we are annoyed by, he doesn't have any of that. Now, combine that with being one of the greatest players of all time that we're watching in his prime, and the consistency, and that he basically can leave a team and it's a champion and go to a team that's a lottery team and flip their entire script. That the lottery team becomes the champion and the champion becomes the lottery team by just him leaving or going there is pretty insane. So not just appreciating what we have and having to tear him down, I find to be a fool's errand. Brian's in Las Vegas listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1140. Hello, Brian.
Hey there.
Hi, what's going on?
I had something I wanted to add about comparing the Cavs to the Red Sox in 2004.
Okay.
So the Cavs were pretty much expected to win the championship or to win the finals. But
how can you say
the
that?
The Red Sox. Well, because LeBron switched teams and went to the Cavs. So everybody was like, "Oh, well, here we go."
Well, the year before the Warriors beat them, and then last year the Warriors were even better, having won 73 games and leading 3-1.
Right, but it wasn't as much of a surprise to see the Cavs in the finals, whereas the Red Sox were made it to the World Series as a wild card. And remember the ALCS games? Well, I think the Yankees were a huge favorite to win that series, and then the Sox came out of nowhere, basically.
Well, how do you say they came out of nowhere? They were in the ALCS against the Yankees in a game 7 the year before and were arguably the second best team in baseball.
Well, yes, the second best, potentially. I mean, it's an arguable fact, but it was more of a surprise. It would have been okay for them to lose again. It would have been like, oh, well, that's just the way that the Red Sox play. Whereas for the Cavs, it was like, no, this isn't going to happen again. It was like, I feel like people had a different expectation going into each series.
Well, I don't know why they would, because Cleveland had not won a championship since 1964. So I think that the expectation was Cleveland never wins anything and will lose again because they're playing a team that is historically the greatest team ever. You're missing the point that the Warriors won 73 freaking games last year.
Right. And no, I'm not.
Didn't lose until Christmas.
Yeah. I'm not saying that they didn't have an amazing run and they shouldn't have won, but I feel like the way that fans viewed it was that it was like a much more momentous thing for the Red Sox to win because it wasn't expected as much as for the Cavs to win.
Well, here's the difference is that the Red Sox were glorified because of this existence of this curse of the Bambino, and because they're the Red Sox, and because it's Boston, and because it's baseball, that it had become romanticized and fetishized that the Red Sox had not won. And so Red Sox pain became a storyline of Americana for 50 years. And because you had a curse that they traded Babe Ruth, that it kept festering and building on itself for years upon years with Bucky Dent and Mookie Wilson and Bill Buckner and Carlton Fisk. And every time that something great happened, something terrible happened. And so you had this storyline that had been baked into the Red Sox that they will, yes, they're not meant to win. And Red Sox fans, because it's Boston, because there's so much tradition, because it's baseball, it took on a life of its own. And there was never a Cavs curse. But there was certainly a Cleveland curse. And we tend to build things in bigger markets bigger. You know, like the Indians curse will never be as big as the White Sox, or as the Red Sox or the Cubs. But the Indians curse is freaking 70 years old. I mean, you know, the Padres will never be looked at as a cursed franchise. But the Padres have been around a really long time and have never had a no-hitter, and have never had a World Series. So, you might not think the Cavaliers was as impactful as the Red Sox, but for all intents and purposes, it was the same thing. Except maybe bigger, because imagine that Boston had not won a championship at any sport since 1964, and then they finally broke through. People that aren't from Cleveland don't realize how important that was. That you went from a city of loserdom and industry moving out and the rivers on fire and nobody wants to live here and the drive and the fumble and all of this nonsense and negativity and jinxes and humiliation and the factory of sadness is the nickname of the city because they know they're never supposed to win a championship and they finally do by beating the historically the greatest record of any team ever and doing it by down 3-1 that had never happened in a finals before? In some ways, what the Cavaliers did last year was more impressive than the Red Sox in 2004. Because the last year's Cavaliers team took 60 or 50 years of a city's jinx and broke it. Where the Red Sox only broke their own jinx. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll jump back into your phone calls. Also, Raider Nation refuses to die, and I love it, and I'm picking up the flag for them.
My
Muffins Mornings Mothership.
Going on, DA? Wondering about the new time slot. I hear you in the morning now, and I love it. The only time I get to hear you before was when I was coming home late from work. I love listening to you, man.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, you can now watch the show. There's a digital broadcast of every day's program by going to watchda.com. You can do that at work. You can do that on your home computer. You could even do that on your phone or your tablet. It is mobile friendly. Go to watchda.com and to watch the show. And even when we're not on the air, the show plays on loop until we're back on the air. So you can always kill time wherever you are by watching the DA.
The newly revamped DA.
The newly revamped watchda.com. So I've got to tell you that the Raiders cause I feel very strongly about. Because Oakland has been a fantastic host to the Raiders since their inception in 1960. And it was a sin that Al Davis warred with the NFL and forced and sued his way into a move to Los Angeles the first time. And then got his wishes, got his desires. They built him the huge upper deck structure so he could have more season tickets and more revenue. And then when he moved back, the Raiders were so bad that they could not sell those seats. And now it is this kind of iconic eyesore along the highway with that stadium. They never upgraded the stadium. That place is a total dump. And it was 10 years of disgusting, grotesque, awful dog food football in Oakland for tremendous football fans. And the diehards kept showing up, and Raider Nation kept wearing the silver and black. And now, having endured year after year of garbage football from 2003 on up until just a couple of years ago, they're finally good again. They've got a franchise quarterback. They've got one of the best defensive players in football. They've got one of the best young wide receivers in football. They've got a great offensive line, and they can win. And now they decide, we're going to move you to the desert, and we don't even know how that's going to go because we've never had a professional team there, and it's going to be a much smaller market, but no, sorry. Sucks to be you because that's the way the NFL treats its fans. The fans that have been around for 60 years don't really matter. What matters is a shiny new toy to play with. And it bothers me to no end. It bothers me to no end that the NFL is going to sit there straight face and go, yeah, this is what's best for the league. When what's been best for the league has been relying on the salt of the earth fans that have been around since 1960 or since before that. In all of these locations that, you know what, you built the league on the backs of. You built the league on the back of Oakland. And now you dare leave because you've got a shinier toy somewhere else in the middle of the desert? Yeah, go play with the casino magnates. But I think that that is so reprehensible, and the NFL continues to disgust me with its ethics. And so I am rooting hard for one thing and one thing only. That the Raiders fans get a championship out of this team when it's still in Oakland. I don't want to see them finally win a title when they move to Las Vegas. I want the city of Oakland to have that championship parade. I want the city of Oakland to feel those playoff games. I want the city of Oakland to know that it's the Oakland Raiders that win the Super Bowl and not the Las Vegas Raiders. And it's pretty cool that today we learn that the Raiders have sold out their season tickets. And there was even 1,000 season ticket holders that when they declared they were leaving for Vegas said, you know what, I'm out. And I don't blame you at all because the NFL has spit in your eye. They didn't try to make it work in Oakland. They didn't care if it worked. In fact, they didn't want it to work. They wanted to move a team to Las Vegas. They wanted to because they said, oh, my God, look, we have somebody paying for our stadium. We've already got a team in the Bay Area as well. That's fine. It's just chess pieces on a Monopoly board or chess pieces on a chessboard, Monopoly pieces on a Monopoly board. They are playing us all, and they are spitting in our eye and telling us football is family. But I'm pulling hard for the Raiders. And one of these next 3 years, win as the Oakland Raiders a Super Bowl. And if you gave up your season tickets, I don't blame you because this is a terrible look by the NFL. But it immediately, they resold another 1,000, those 1,000 that were given up, to more fans in the Bay Area. To me, Raider Nation isn't dead. Raider Nation is hanging on, and Raider Nation's not going out without a fight. And I love that. I love it. And I'm pulling for you guys hard, man. I'm pulling for you guys hard because if there is a rightness, if there is a karmic rightness for the Oakland Raiders, it is for Oakland fans to win a Super Bowl. Not the Las Vegas Raiders because they're finally good now. The Raiders will win one of the next 2 or 3 Super Bowls, depending on how long they're there before they move. And that it'll be the city of Oakland that owns and earns and basks in that glory. Now, look, it's way easier to sell out all your season tickets when you're really good, which they are really good. If they were a 4-12, 5-11, 3-13 nightmare, which they were for a long time, probably wouldn't be sold out season tickets. But the Raiders! The autumn wind is a Raider. I'm all in. Justin's in Lake George, listening on 1580 to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Justin?
Yeah, how you doing? I was just calling in just to see your opinion on, with the rule change in the NFL, would you think that that's going to affect Terrell Owens and Chad Johnson, players like that getting into the Hall of Fame?
Which rule change? The celebration?
Yes, sir.
Well, they're letting celebrations happen now.
Yeah, I know, and I'm saying, do you think that will affect those players' chances of getting in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, I see what you're saying, that we're not penalizing guys for doing those types of antics anymore so that they're going to be looked at more warmly. T.O. is eventually going to make the Hall of Fame. It's just a matter of time. I thought he should have been in his second ballot. It's going to be his third ballot. He will get in. No Ketcho Stinko will not get in ever. He's not a Hall of Famer. So this rule change won't affect that in terms of that type of impact. One's going to get in because he was that good. One's not going to get in because he wasn't that good. Will we in time look back maybe and say, you know what, those guys weren't as bad as they seemed because they were just having fun and we want to have more fun in the league? Maybe. Maybe there will be less criticism about their end zone antics. The problem with T.O. is his end zone antics were the least of your worries if you were a head coach. Didn't really matter if he was throwing popcorn in his face or using a Sharpie or dancing with pom-poms to the sideline. Doesn't matter. T.O.'s problems were incorrigible, uncoachable, showed up when he wanted to, fought with teammates, fought with quarterbacks, fought with coaches, was a divisive locker room guy. You deal with all of the crazy end zone celebrations, that's no problem. But it was all the other things that factored into T.O.'s, his legacy that affects why he's been held out of the Hall of Fame. Not, I don't think it has anything to do with his end zone celebrations. 855-212-4CBS because, you know, let's see. Trying to think of a guy that had really crazy end zone celebrations that's in the Hall of Fame that they never used against him. I mean, Michael Irvin was demonstrative. He never really had an end zone celebration outside of the big kind of strutting walk and the big spike. But it's not one of the reasons that they hold you out of the Hall of Fame is over celebrations. Gronkowski has been a guy that's had a couple of interesting end zone moments, and he will likely be in the Hall of Fame one day. So not the reason those guys are not in yet. When we come back here on the show, we'll talk about the Chris Paul to San Antonio rumors. How legitimate are they? With Hector Ledesma, who's covered the San Antonio Spurs for quite a long time, good friend of mine, he's going to join us. We'll jump back into your phone calls as well.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sports talk was meant to be on an imaginary spaceship.
Shout out to my boy Skinny Fat Mraz. Love you. Follow both of you guys on Instagram.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, too bad Skinny Fat's not in this morning, but that's okay because I am. 855-212-4CBS. You can always stream us, download the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music. To listen to the show if your local radio affiliate doesn't have us, or if you're outside of your normal listening area, or you just want to listen on your phone. Robert's in California, 96.1, listen to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Rob. What's up?
Good morning, DA. Really miss you in your old spot. Not sure how I feel about Bill Ryder, but I'm glad at least you're on in the morning. I can still listen.
Well, thanks so much. Give Bill a chance. I think he's a hysterical guy. I think he's a good sports mind as well, so I think he's going to do good there.
Yeah, he's growing on me. I'm a lifetime Raider fan, DA, and I think you got this one wrong with regards to the NFL. I became a Raider fan when Plunkett won the Super Bowl when I was, 13 or 14 years old, and I followed him ever since, and I lived in Oakland for a number of years, and Al Davis broke my heart when he moved to L.A. the first time, but now this second time that they're moving, I lived in Oakland, like I said, and that area where that stadium is located, the city of Oakland has done nothing to make that a nicer area for football fans. Nothing. It's the dregs, DA. It's horrible to even drive into. And they were making absolutely no effort. And I blame the city of Oakland and largely the state of California. The governor made no effort to even keep Oakland in San Diego. So now all these millionaires are going to move out of California to Nevada with all of their little side jobs that they would provide it, the cars they buy, the homes they buy. So, I think you got this one wrong. I think this one's on Oakland and the state of California. It's not on Al Davis and the NFL.
Well, it's obviously not on Al Davis. It is on Mark Davis and the NFL, and here's why, Robert. I understand what you're saying. Oakland certainly could have done more to be more organized, to put forth a better effort over the last couple of years. Clearly, the Coliseum's a disaster. It's one of the reasons that area. It's one of the reasons the Warriors want to get out as well. I've been over there. I've been to the complex. I've been to a Warriors game. I know what you're talking about. However, if the NFL wants a team to stay, the NFL helps that team stay. You want to know how I know that? Because they moved two teams out of areas into Los Angeles without a stadium. They just wanted two teams in L.A. You got to understand something. I'm not sitting here defending the city of Oakland or the state of California's effort in getting something done, because we all know it's virtually impossible to get anything done with public money in the state of California arena-wise or stadium-wise. You've got to build it, privately finance it, like the Niners did with the Levi Stadium, like the Warriors are doing with downtown San Francisco, like the Giants did with Pac Bell Park, now AT&T Park. That's the way it's got to be done. Like L.A. Stadium is going to be now with what Stan Kroenke's doing. Stan Kroenke's just cutting a check. However, if the NFL wanted the Raiders to stay, the NFL can cut that same check. The NFL can cut the differential by saying, well, we've got a stadium fund. Remember, the NFL has a stadium fund to help build stadiums where they want them. But ultimately, they didn't want or care if a team was in Oakland. They would rather take the free handout, and that's the problem. Why should one city suffer because another city is going to give them a free stadium? It's not smart to pay for billionaire stadiums. It's stupid. It's corporate welfare. It's ridiculous to give billionaires more money for their investment. So I don't blame these cities for not building. But if the NFL said, you know what, the legacy of the Raiders in Oakland is too important, this is where it was built, these fans are really good, you know what? We don't really trust Las Vegas long term. We don't want to be connected to the gambling part of this. If there was any reason they said, now we don't feel good about this, believe me, the NFL goes behind closed doors and uses the political sway that it has to say, hey, you do this for us. You do this for us. Or you sponsor this. You're the title sponsor on this. You write us this. You get this bond. You get this fund. You get this loan. Believe me, if the NFL wants to get, or the NFL goes, Mark, you're not moving, so you got to sell. So we will set up the seller. We will set up the buyer, rather. We will set up the sale. The NFL wants to keep the Raiders there. They can keep the Raiders there. That's how powerful of an entity they are. Believe me. Or they could have blocked Mark Davis from going and said, sorry, Mark, you're not going to Vegas. You got to try to keep getting something done. But they voted nearly unanimously because they love when an owner gets something for free, because they're all owners that want something for free. San Antonio's been trying to get the Raiders or an NFL team. But in San Antonio, bigger fish to fry right now, and that is, are the Chris Paul rumors legit? Joining me here on the DA Show is a good friend of mine, Hector Ledesma. He's going to join us coming up here in just a few moments to discuss what the legitimacy is of CP3 moving to the River City. Mike is in Sacramento listening on 1140 to CBS Sports Radio.
How
good
doing
morning, Mike.
Good morning, dear.
Good. How you doing?
I'm blessed. First, I wanted to send a Memorial Day shout-out to all the veterans that may have lost comrades out there.
No doubt.
Families and friends also. Second, I want to talk about, well, let me state about the Raiders since we're on the Raiders. The only thing I want to say about that, I'm a Raider fan from the Bay Area. Stayed in East Oakland all my life. The Raiders can go to Alaska in the silver and black as a true Raider fan. And mind you, I'm 36. I didn't come up in the glory years of the Raiders. I am still going to be a Raider fan. If I can afford to go to Alaska and be a season ticket holder, I'm going to be a Raider fan. The Raiders are way bigger than the city of Oakland. We are way more fortunate to have the Raiders there and to groom them and shine them up. They're like the girlfriend that we had our first kiss. She had our first kiss with us. Then she moved on and got married. Somebody's loving those kisses. We had her first.
I feel you.
So the next part about what I want to say is LeBron James.
Yeah.
LeBron James, I feel like you compare great players to situations in their generation. But the crossover is, for me, you compare Michael Jordan and you ask how many of the greatest NBA players of all time did he beat on en route to his sixth title. Then you ask the same question for LeBron James. At that point, I think the conversation ends.
Well, what happens if that includes Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Tim Duncan, Kawhi Leonard, Manu Ginobili, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green that are all Hall of Famers? What happens if all those guys are Hall of Famers? That's 9 Hall of Famers LeBron beat to get to 3 titles. Not enough for you? Come on. Hector Ledesma joins me here on the show, a good friend of mine in San Antonio, breaking down these Chris Paul to the Spurs rumors. He works on the Ticket 760 and KCWX-TV. What's up, Ledoos?
What is up, Damon? Hey, add Tony Parker to that list you just ran down.
Right.
He may not be a top 10, 15 point guard of all time, but he's a Hall of Famer. So that's 10 Hall of Famers LeBron would have beat for titles over his career.
How funny is that? He's had 3 titles right now, and he might have beat 10 Hall of Famers on 3 teams to do it. And guys are saying, yeah, but he hasn't gone through the same amount of Hall of Famers as Michael Jordan.
Well,
come on.
Not only that, as you pointed out, when he beat the Thunder, there's going to be 3 future Hall of Famers on that Thunder team when it's all said and done. There's going to be 4 future Hall of Famers and a Hall of Fame coach on the Spurs team that he beat when it's all said and done. Duncan, Kawhi, Manu, Tony, and Pop. And then last year, beating that Warriors team in the 73 wins. Yeah.
So what do you think about the reality of this Chris Paul to San Antonio rumors? Are you taking them seriously?
No, I'm not, DA, and I'll tell you why. it would be very un-Spurs-like. Now, I know they made the run at Jason Kidd back in 03, and they were coming off a title back in 03, so you would think we've got a young Tony Parker, young Tim Duncan, who just dominated the NBA, you know, the finals, and just won a second straight MVP. Why make a run at Jason Kidd? They still did it, and I see why folks would look at that template and say, hey, you know, 15 years later, maybe they're looking to do the same thing. Here's the difference. When they signed LaMarcus Aldridge a couple of years ago, they were set up for the for that summer. They were set up for the summer of 2016, or 2015, I think it was. Let's go out and let's go out and let's make a run at a prime free agent. LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be available. Marc Gasol is going to be available. And every single contract was coming off the books. Everything of significance was coming off the books for the Spurs that same summer. This year, that's not the case. And even more so, I'll do you one better. Next year, 2018, is when a lot of stuff is coming off the books for the Spurs. So if you're the Spurs and you're sitting there, contractually speaking, sitting pretty, looking at a chance to make a run at a free agent in 2018, why then would you have to gut your why then would you want to gut your entire roster this summer to get Chris Paul, who is already in his 30s, when, by all accounts and purposes, DeJounte Murray is a kid who is going to be ready to play at that level. So we'll see. Maybe not this year. Maybe not very soon. But they think that he can be a guy who can contribute and be a big part of the rotation. I'm not taking this Chris Paul rumor seriously, especially considering what they'd have to do to get him.
Who knows what the Western Finals would have looked like if Kawhi was healthy? Do you feel like if the Spurs just stay the course, and as you said, don't gut everything for Chris Paul, that they can legitimately make runs at beating the Warriors any of the next 3 years?
Without Chris Paul?
Yes.
No. The bottom line is LaMarcus Aldridge hasn't turned into what they thought they were going to get with LaMarcus Aldridge. And I keep saying this all year long. As you watch the Spurs, they transformed into this beautiful game, ball movement, you know, go from good shot to great shot. They went from this philosophy to put the ball in Kawhi's hands to let him create, a la LeBron. Well, not so much that LeBron's a scorer, but let him create, whether it's a point, a shot for somebody else, an opportunity, wreak havoc on the defense. Everything starts with LeBron. They did that with Kawhi this year. And as I'm watching this, they're having success, but I'm thinking to myself, boy, they're missing a beat here. You know, what if LeBron isn't Superman during the playoffs? They've got Aldridge, they've got Gasol. Be nice to do a little high-low two-man game on the other side of that offensive set, opposite Kawhi. Kept saying that all year long. What happened in the playoffs when Aldridge and Gasol got an opportunity to be the guy? They totally tanked. So I think that's problem number one. If Aldridge isn't that guy, and as long as he's the first, second best player, which with Tony's injury now indicates that he will be, that's your issue. If LaMarcus Aldridge is your second best player, you're not beating the Warriors. No way.
Hector Ledesma, San Antonio, joins us here on the show. So what's been the biggest frustration with LaMarcus Aldridge, and is there anything to do with him? Because we've seen Pop try to poke him and prod him to get more out of him. But, I mean, if that's not working in year two, are they ever going to get more out of him? And if not, do they have to try to move him? Can they move him? Do they want to move
him?
Yes,
I think your best bet is to try to move Aldridge. And here's the thing. When I say this about Pop, this is just my observation of Pop and the Spurs culture and just what I've seen. Not only been covering the Spurs for the last, 15 years, but in growing up in San Antonio, and Pop's been here since the mid-90s, as GM. He didn't take over as head coach a couple of years after that, but he's been involved with the franchise since the early 90s when he was an assistant coach under Larry Brown, left for a little bit, came back in the mid-90s to go to GM, and then made himself the coach. This is my observation of Pop, not words from him, not a conversation I've had with him, but I think he resents the fact that he's got a massage a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge. Hey, it's okay if you're not the first option. Hey, we promise we'll find a way to work you in. Hey, yes, maybe it's unfair that there's double and triple teams coming at you, but you've got to find a way to contribute. I think he never had to deal with that with a Duncan or a Ginobili or a Parker. He never had to deal with Mazzara. And I think you often hear Pop talking about treating his guys like men. They don't need rah-rah speech. They don't need to be reminded of the moment, whether they're down 2-0 or up 3-0 and about to close out a series. They're grown men. They're professionals. They don't need to be treated and coddled and handled. Just speak the truth to them. And I think deep down, Papa looks at Aldridge and thinks, well, you know, it's the hand I've been dealt when we brought this guy over. I've got to figure out a way to work with him. But that, to me, is totally outside Pop's comfort zone.
Got about 45 seconds left. How different were the Western Conference Finals, finally, if Kawhi stayed healthy?
I think the Spurs maybe win two games. They definitely go on to win game one. They hold on, I think. They don't have a total meltdown there without if Kawhi's healthy. They win one of the games in San Antonio. But I think ultimately Golden State, with the level at which they were playing, they still go on to win the series, I think. And we'll see what happens against the Cavs.
But you don't think that this Chris Paul thing to the Spurs is going to happen? You're ruling that out.
They're gonna have to not bring back Patty Mills. They're going to have to not bring back Jonathan Simmons. They're going to have to hope that Manu retires, which I don't think is going to happen. They're going to have to renounce. They're going to have to somehow get Tony Parker's contracts off the books. They're going to have to not bring back David Lee, not bring back Dwayne Dedman. We kind of run through all the things that need to happen for.
Yeah.
You know, and they would either need to get rid of Pau Gasol or Danny Green's salary in order to make the math work.
Just too much, seemingly, to make it work. Hector Ledesma, my good friend, KCWX2 in San Antonio, the Ticket 760 as well there, all over the Spurs. Follow him on Twitter right now. Hector Ledesma, JR on Twitter. Thank you, my friend. Happy Memorial Day to you.
Likewise, my friend. Talk to you soon.
When we come back, what's more likely, CP3 to the Spurs or Carmelo to the Clippers this offseason? Next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.